Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Automotive Axles Limited Q2 FY26 post-results earnings con call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Samarth. Good morning, and thanks to everyone who have logged in to Automotive Axles 2Q FY26 earnings call. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole-Time Director, Automotive Axles; Mr. Ranganathan, CFO, Automotive Axles; and Mr. Krishan Kumar, GM, Meritor India. I would now like to turn the call to Mr. Nagaraja for the opening remarks, followed by the Q&A. Sir, you may begin now.
Yeah. Good morning again. This is Nagaraja Gargeshwari here. I once again welcome all of you to this Q2 FY26 investor call. As you're all aware of, there were several headwinds with the new legislation coming for M&HCV, basically AC cabin introduction last quarter, and then we all know about what is happening with respect to tariff. In spite of that, we have done a pretty good job, and we are able to protect our margins. So to start with, I would request Mr. Krishan Kumar to give a quick update on the market, followed by our CFO, Mr. Ranganathan, to talk a little bit more about the results. Over to you, Krishan.
Thanks, Nagaraja. Good morning, all. So the last quarter was very interesting. Like Nagaraja said, there were headwinds, but also if we look at the Indian context, the domestic consumption has been really good, and we see the agriculture sector really contributing, rural coming back. And as a result, World Bank and IFB both have revised the GDP outlook for India, which is very positive. And other things, very significant difference between the past quarters is even though the overall index of industrial production is low, around 2.8 cumulatively, the sectors like manufacturing actually contributed very well in August and September to the rate of 4.8. And that is expected to continue. So we are expecting the GST revision also to boost the sentiments. So the Q2, as Nagaraja said, even with all the headwinds, the market did a volume, M&HCV market did a volume of around 95,000-98,000 vehicles with a reasonably good product mix of trucks, tractor-trailers, and buses. And going forward, also, we expect the Q3 and Q4 to be ending very strongly, probably better than last year. That is what we are expecting. And there were some real good highlights for us in Q2. As we discussed in the previous investors' call, we had launched the 15-meter bus axle, which went into production last quarter. And then we also migrated one of our very traditional old products, which we were exporting, into a new product called 15i, which was already productionized for other customers. So this last customer also migrated into that. And then we launched two axles, two family of axles, which are traditional axles, but for a very different application. So one is for a 4x2 electric tractor-trailer, and the other one is for an 8x4 electric tipper. So our products are now traditional mechanical products are also now approved for electric application, electric vehicle applications. And other big recognition was we won the Silver Award for Superlative Supplier category for aftermarket performance, where we continuously improved our delivery performance, and right now at 98%-90%, we won this from Ashok Leyland. So with that, I quickly conclude on the market outlook and the past quarter updates. Thank you.
Yeah. Very good morning to all of you. It's my immense pleasure to wish you all happy Diwali, though it's late, and the New Year wishes to all those who have started the New Year on the Diwali day. With this, just wanted to quick highlights of the financial performance. This quarter, we have done about 470 crores. As compared to last quarter, we are slightly down by 6%. And as far as the half year is concerned, we did about 969 crores. We'll be totally we're down by about 3%. The product revenue down by 4%. And overall EBITDA for this quarter, we achieved about 12.4%. And as compared to last quarter, 11.7%. And as compared to last year, it was around 11.4%. So overall, this quarter overall the performance for the margin is concerned is much better compared to the previous quarter. This quarter happened we have some couple of one-timers, which is unusual. All of you know that we have started selling to the customer directly from April 1st. So this quarter, we had some upside on the revenue because the exports revenue we recognized, which has got some mixed benefit this quarter. Plus, we also have foreign exchange benefits. And that's also a reason for the better margins. Apart from that, we also had some one-timers, some of the liabilities which are not required, we wrote off. If you remove the exceptions, we will be close to around 11.8%. More similar to last quarter, though the revenue was down. So very high level and 470 crores, about 12.4%. And the normalized number could be around 11.7 or 11.8%. So with this introduction, probably I'll probably move on to the question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is that some industry reports are suggesting that the average age of MHCV trucks on Indian roads are at 10 years, which is highest in the past two decades. And there is also a mandatory scrapping of government vehicles of older than 15 years, which is expected to boost the replacement demand of the industry. However, the average tonnage is near all-time high for the industry at 28 to 30 tons versus 20 tons in the last upcycle. So considering all these factors and also the cyclical nature of the industry, what is your assessment of the replacement demand and when do you expect this to play out?
I'll take that, yeah. You are absolutely right, your observations and the reports that are suggesting. But in addition to that, a couple of things we need to understand. If you really see the last 3 years, at least, or 4 years rather, the market is around 400, 420 range. And even this year, we are expecting the same. And the next year, maybe a 3-4% down. So the cyclicality has changed. The nature of the behavior of the market has changed. Now, in addition to all the things that is happening, including the DFC, right, we think this will, the variations from year to year, whether it is plus or minus, that will be very small, which we are already experiencing. So the cyclicality is now, I would say, is within 10%, not like the earlier times when we used to see 15-20% and more. So which means if we are at 400 now with the replacement cycle coming in, the next expected peak is by 2930, where we can touch 480 to 500,000. And by then, with the support of the domestic consumption, the GDP and everything, even the tonnage carrying capacity also will be required more. In addition to that, we also see the trend of higher HP engines coming in with the heavy, more payloads. So all these will probably stabilize around 28, 29, and then we see a peak by 2030. And then we may expect a very different cyclicality, which even now we are trying to simulate. But that's how we think the market will behave in the next couple of years.
So you mentioned that next year you expect 3-4% down.
That is still debatable because this GST sentiment, how that will go ahead, that will be probably defining the overall volume. But our early forecast was we may be around 5%, 6% down, but that may cut down to 2-3%. That's what I'm seeing. And also on top of that, what is important is how we end this year. That will define the next year.
Okay. Sir, compared to last 15-20 years, the cycle is changing now. So what is leading to this reduction in cyclicality nature of the MHCV industry?
There are a couple of things. I think the first thing that we need to recognize is the COVID years were actually a reset. A lot of things changed from that year onwards. So we did have a bounce back immediately after that in 23. And then after that, the dynamics in the market, the heavy, the better infrastructure, GST simplification, the roads becoming much freer in terms of reaching point A to point B, and the heavier vehicles like tractor trailer, that is what we are seeing now. All this is actually meeting the market demand. So that means the 400 level market is able to give what the overall demand is. So when that happens, when we have continuously 2-3 years of stable volume, the cyclicality naturally reduces from 7 to 6 to 8 years to maybe 3 to 4 years, and even the variation will reduce. That is what we think has happened in the last couple of years.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That was very helpful. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Hiranandani from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, team, for the opportunity. And first of all, we wish all the very best to Ranganathan, sir. Sir has been very, very supportive to us. Sir, my question is basically on your revenue. So MHCV industry production for Q2 grew by 3%, but our revenue dropped. Was this only due to the impact of, you know, the tariffs in exports?
Maybe I'll take this question, Kishan. You can supplement that. I think, you know, like what Kishan mentioning, there were two things. You know, one is you know, the product mix. So where, as you are aware, you know, the usually the Q2 is where because of the monsoon, the tipper sales will be down. So we are very strong in the tipper segment. You know, that to some extent affected our top line. And apart from that also, like, you know, we see that quarter to quarter, different customers, you know, have a you know, different, you know, sales. So because we are kind of, you know, concentrated in a few of the customers, you know, to some extent, the product mix and their overall sales also kind of affected us. You are aware that, you know, the Europe is very stable. But North America, you know, the especially the M&HCV market is you know, down. So it also had some impact on our top line. Like I said, you know, in spite of all these challenges, which we think, like Kishan mentioned, because of the GST 2.0 and you know, a robust domestic consumption, we expect you know, that we should be able to make up for some of those lost revenues in the upcoming two quarters. Kishan, do you want to add something?
No, I think you summarized that. It's primarily we think the product mix had some impact last quarter, and some of that we have offset with the bus launch, which otherwise would have been even deeper. Yeah, like Nagra just said, next two quarters should be really positive in that sense.
Sir, how much is the exports as a percentage of revenue, an approximate number?
Ranga, you would like to answer that?
Ramit, I thank you very much for your kind words. So the point is that in your specific question, I know, which still the same level what they have been doing it in the past, it will be slightly lower than the double digit. At this moment, we are just working on the same level. So.
Okay, understood, sir. Edward, is it possible, I mean, for you to you know, give some color on different segments of the CV industry, like the MHCV, small commercial vehicle and buses? Like, how do you see the demand from October onwards?
Kishan?
So we don't follow so much on the LTV side. We are, as you know, we are playing only, you know, 7.5 ton and above. What I can tell you at a very high level is, and which is also true for probably for the last two quarters, even though the market has stayed at 400, 420 level, the contribution from truck versus bus, that ratio has changed. So we have definitely seen more buses. And within the trucks, what we have seen is the heavy duty segment growing, where the higher payload, even including the 4x2 tractor that I mentioned earlier. So that contribution is also increasing. And I think this is going to stay, or at least next couple of quarters this is going to stay. And this is when we think the efficiency will start kicking in, when the fleets and the truck owners will start talking about efficiency, which is where the next cycle of new products and the market, opportunity to market, for the market to move up, that is when we expect it to happen in the next 3 to 4 years.
Right, this is helpful, sir. And sir, lastly, are you seeing any kind of commodity pressure for the coming quarters?
No, at this point of time, we don't envisage anything. But again, it is anybody's guess with so many, if there is a spurt in the demand, we believe that there is enough capacity as far as our major major commodities like forging and castings are concerned and steel is concerned. We don't envisage anything, but it could be, you know, anybody's guess, you know, what happens, you know, we don't know, but we don't foresee any major changes to the commodity.
No, just to say, you're looking at a commodity price changes, you're talking about it?
Yeah.
Amit?
Yeah, yes, sir.
No, as we already maintained, any commodity changes is always back-to-back. So I don't see any issues as far as the financial perspective.
Understood. The last question from my side is broadly, like a few quarters ago, we were like guiding to, you know, reach to the margin levels. So are we on track on this journey, sir?
Say it again.
Like few quarters ago, we were guiding for the EBITDA margin to reach at the mid-teens level, 13%+. So are we on track on this journey, sir?
My answer to you is yes. You see the, you know, you have a full-fledged of analyst with you, so we can just put the volume change and look at the numbers. Definitely, we are on the track, absolutely. And if you really put the year-on-year performance in operating performance level, yeah, definitely, barring the mix, is one issue which we had to, as part of business, we had to bet. Other than that, we are on the track.
Great, sir. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Batra from Ambit AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. Firstly, we saw a structure change happen during Q1, and post Q1, if I look at your numbers, we have seen a gross margin expansion coming in as guided for. However, we are also paying royalty. Eventually, the EBITDA margin flow in is still in line with what we were doing before the structure change came in. So, A, when do we start seeing the benefit of this coming in on our EBITDA margin and profitability?
Sorry, sir. Sorry to intervene. Your voice is not clear. We're not able to. It's quite not quite audible.
Sir, is it better now?
Yeah.
Sir, I repeat. So we did a structure change in Q1 FY26, post which our gross margins have expanded subsequently over the last 2 quarters. We have seen around 300 bits of expansion, 300-400 bits. However, the EBITDA margin flow-in is still in line with what we were doing before the structure change came in. So when do we expect the EBITDA margins to expand in line with how our gross margins have expanded after paying the royalty that we pay? And secondly, you highlighted that there is very good demand in the tractor trailer segment. Do we have any plans of entering the dead axles business which are used in the tractor trailers?
Probably I'll take the first question as far as the margin is concerned. See, operating margin, we have a very specific target and we need to work on it. That you really see performance on the operating margin level. Secondly, there were a couple of factors I just wanted to bring a perspective to you. One is about the volume, which has a bearing impact on the fixed cost. So definitely that is one of the elements which is affecting the EBITDA, point number one. Point number two is about the mix. So these two elements is probably had to manage it. Next two quarters, you really see that as volume picks up much better compared to the first two quarters, you will have the bearing benefit to the EBITDA also. And other side, probably Krishan can answer.
Yeah, sure. So we are talking about the trailer axles here, so which you mentioned as the dummy axle. So in the industry today, even though trailers, the tractor numbers are increasing, the trailer market is still very, you know, fragmented. You have only one or two big players in the market who understand the technology and they appreciate companies like probably us. Because we also have trailer technology with us globally. And we did do a very deep analysis on Indian market, the product, and we do have the product on drawing. But to enter into this market, I think the market has to really mature in terms of the safety concerns that the industry has with tractor trailer applications, the increasing speeds, and some of the other elements. And also to add here, trailer axle is always clubbed with the trailer suspension. So then it becomes very strategic whether we want to get into suspension. So these are under evaluation. We are discussing and very closely monitoring how the industry is moving. Our first priority was to have the trailer live axle available, and that's what we did in the last couple of years. So we ensured that when the trailer trailer market comes back, we do have the right brakes and the axle for the prime mover. And then comes the trailer. Probably in the coming couple of quarters, we'll see how it moves, and then we will have our strategy ready for it.
Correct. But sir, if we, in case you highlighted that we have the tech for it, so in case we decided on entering that segment as it's a growing one, it would not take us substantial time to come up with a product, right? We can launch it in the market in, let's say, a year's time once we decide.
Probably over a year, because we do have to do our own validation, which can go up to 12 to 18 months. But definitely it will be much faster than probably developing something from the scratch.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Alpha Accurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for recent set of number in a tough time. Sir, how is the recent GST reduction impacted the sentiment among large and small fleet operators? And what is the current level of fleet utilization in the industry?
Krishan, you want to take that?
Yeah, the first one is still work in progress. I think we are not yet seeing a real, of course, the sentiments are positive, but I don't think they are contributing to the number yet. It will take a couple of more, at least one or two quarters more to see really what is that impact. And that is why I said we are upbeat. We do think we will end up better than what we forecasted in the beginning, at least by 5%. Let's be very optimistic there. Beyond that, I think it is very hard to say right now. There are a lot of other elements will also play in. The input-output GST is something, you know, every company is evaluating once we moved into these two slabs from the four slabs. So I would say it will take a little bit more time for us to have a better feel for it.
And what is the current level of fleet utilization?
I don't have exact numbers, but what I know, knowing by the number of old vehicles and their usage versus the new vehicles in the last couple of years, fleets are actually good fleets. Let me clarify myself. Good, efficient fleets have actually improved their productivity at least by 5 to 10% in the last couple of years, and that's been very consistent. So one reason for that, of course, is the good infrastructure. But the second one is they have also understood overloading is not anymore going to help them if they really want to be quicker, faster, and without much downtime. I think combination of that, I would say about 75% is right now the fleet utilization is with the good fleets. one area which we are still struggling is the loading unloading. And that's where we are expecting this tractor trailer changeover may help some segments. Not may not be all segments, but some segments.
Okay. And how much the impact of the DFC in overall MSCBG volume? And plus that, there's also another issues with the slowdown in the export. So how much impact on the tractor trailer segment because of this?
I'm sorry, are you relating export and tractor trailers? I didn't get that well.
Yeah, actually, just wanted to understand about that in a heavy-duty trucks, how much impact of the total because of this slowdown in the export? And how do you see the volume in Dubai?
I don't think there is a direct impact on the heavy-duty segment because they are all domestic consumption. And if you are talking about the export from a land to port, that I don't think that has got a big impact because of the reduction in export. At least we have not seen that in our company.
Okay. And impact on the DFC in the overall MSCBG volume?
Your voice is little breaking up.
Sir, just wanted to understand how much impact of the DFC in overall volume, dedicated freight corridors?
Yes. In the long run, two things we have to understand. It's not just DFC. The other thing is the efficiency, fuel economy, fuel efficiency, and the productivity in the industry. I think combined, it may have around 7 to 8% impact in the long term. Right now, we don't see that much. But once everything is established in the long run beyond 29, 2030, it may be a 7 to 8% impact. But that will be taken care with the natural increase in demand. So I don't see, it is probably a neutral impact for us.
Okay. And my last question on the share of business in the different OEMs like the Soklin, Mahindra and Mahindra and other Daimler and all.
Sorry? Your SOB, you mean to, your question is on the share of business with these customers?
Yeah.
We are maintaining this for the last several years. We are between 60 to 70% with Ashok Leyland, of course, and then very high double digit with Mahindra and Daimler as well.
Thank you, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amul Rao from One Up Financial Consultants. Please go ahead. Hello, Amul. As there was no response from this participant, we will move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
You did explain on the sales side, but I still want to understand it a bit better. So if we do a sales bridge between last year and this year, we didn't have the export benefit which has come in this quarter. Because of the change in the agreement. And overall, if we look at the MHCV production, the H is up, is in a positive territory. So, but still our sales are flat. So, which means if I adjust for the export, our domestic sales would have seen a degrowth. Can you just help me understand this difference in what is the production on domestic and what our sales is getting reported ex of export business?
No, I'll give my perspective. Probably Krishna or Nagaraj can add to it. So I'm not sure the overall MHCV barring buses probably still not growing much is my data what I have it with me. And Probably bus segment, we are in the process of penetrating it with initially with Kishan told us the new model introduction and all this stuff. So that's one clarity I just wanted to give it to you. I think we are more or less, if we really core segment we are going it, I think we are in line with the market as far as the growth is concerned. And as far as other questions are concerned, that's basically is what your main understanding is required. I think anything else, probably Kishan, you want to add something?
I would put it this way. Yeah, if we had a same level of export like the previous year, we would have probably outperformed. And on the contrary, if I compare our readiness for the bus and tractor trailer last year compared to now, that would have been a negative. So net to net, it probably you are saying it is flat because we have nullified the export impact by launch of the new products for the segments where we would have hit by the product mix issue. So probably that's why you are seeing the domestic market alone, the growth, what Nanga mentioned, and our performance is almost on par.
But sir, even if I adjust for the new product introductions, and as we said, Ashok Leyland is our largest customer, and then Mahindra, and if you look at their production numbers for the quarter, they are both in the positive territory. So if I adjust for the new product, then also those number will, like, it seems we are negative, like, because for both of them, if I look at their production numbers are up by 6 to 7% on an average for the quarter. So have we lost market share with these guys? Is it
no? No, that's exactly what I was trying to draw a parallel. The product mix has helped. I would put it this way. The difference what you're seeing on the downside, that would have been bigger if we did not have the product. So that has bridged some gap. Yes, you are right. We are still on a 2% probably lower than the overall market growth. That 2% is where we still have a product gap. Where Ashok Leyland did more buses where we are not today present. That is where we are coming in. And on the tractor trailer, we had less number of axles and less number of brakes, because that is a natural shift. So for Ashok Leyland, it is a number of vehicles are increasing, but our axles will be one instead of 2 or 2.5.
Okay, so you mean to say that their production has increased, but the number of axles which we were providing, that volume has come down, is lower?
Naturally.
Because
naturally, if you look at 4x2, yes, naturally. If you look at 4x2 tractor versus an 8x2, in 8x2 we will have 2 axles and 4 brakes. In a 4x2 it is just half of it.
Okay, so when you say product mix, you mean to say there would be lesser, like smaller tractor trailers which have been sold where our volume or quantum of volume with Ashok Leyland is lesser versus where our quantum is larger?
Yes.
Would that be the right understanding?
That's right. But also we do have one or two products in the pipeline that should help us in the future to reduce that impact to us.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishish Anklesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible? Yes. I just wanted a clarification on a previous participant's question. You mentioned that you'd guided that volume would be down by 5 to 6% in FY27, but now you are saying that it will be down by 3% only. Is that correct?
That depends on where we end up. So I will probably not make that as an official statement. We are still seeing the next two quarters. If we end up on a higher side, maybe that difference will still be there. It all depends on that. Right now, we think it is about 5 to 7%.
Okay. And can you quantify the volume number for Q2 of 2026?
If you take 5 to 7% on a 400,000, it's roughly around 370-380.
Okay, understood.
So that's what 400 is what I'm taking as a base, but that may change. That's exactly what we have to see in the next 2 quarters.
Okay, so 400 of revenue is what you're taking as a base. Oh, is that right? 400 revenue you're taking as a base, right?
Not revenue, ma'am. It's the MNHCV volume.
Okay, got it. Also, you mentioned that EBITDA margin will reach mid to teen levels. Can you give a timeline by when it will reach that level? Hello.
Ranga?
So can you say it again? Sorry?
Yeah, you mentioned that we are on track to reach EBITDA margin to mid-teen levels. Can you like give a timeline by when we will reach that level?
No, that's what I'm saying. We need to, in terms of run rate, yes. We are just hoping that the volumes will come back. If the volumes are too good, you can even see the run rate in the next quarter also. It depends on the market volumes. We also need to have the when you look at operating margin, you'll definitely reach the run rate. But in terms of EBITDA, it's more about the fixed cost absorption impact. So definitely, we have an ideal model in our system internally to measure that 13%. So mostly, probably if market comes back to the normalcy as in 2023-24, you will definitely see it much better than what we have planned.
Okay, understood. And my last question is, in the previous call, you mentioned that we are going to launch 13.5 meter and 15 meter coach axles and 9 meter bus axles. Do you have any update on that?
Yes. So the coach axle, we launched it in the Q1. That went into production in Q2. We are doing significantly good ramp up on that. And on the 9 and 12 meter axle, it is in the testing. We have actually little slowed down because we want to really understand how the electrification of buses play here. If it is moving faster than what we expect, maybe in the next 3 to 5 years, the diesel in the 9 to 12 meter segment may not be so much. So we really want to understand that aspect and ensure our product will be ready for that electrification also.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just wanted to understand this a little better because I think, since this change happened between Meritor HVS and our arrangement after the shareholders voted out the earlier arrangement and the new arrangement was put in place and all the sales were supposed to be routed through the listed company. Now, basically what it should have meant is that the top line should have gone up by that much amount, right? I would assume at least by 6 to 7% or 7 to 8% just because of the change. Now this quarter we see there is a decline in our revenue. Should we understand that had this arrangement not changed, we would have actually reported a 15-20% decline in revenues even when the industry volumes are flat to positive? There is something missing here. We are not able to correlate the numbers that we are reporting on the sales side. I am not talking of margins here. I am actually discussing only the sales part of it.
I'll take that and probably Kishan and Ranga added that. Again, we have several pieces to that. I think we have been repeating that. One is just now Kishan mentioned. The our exports, it has got affected with the current tariff condition, and even before tariff condition itself, the US market is down by 30 to 40%. You must have heard it from other people also. So there is one that impact. And also, like I said, while the industry numbers will remain flat, the share of business between different OEMs will kind of impact our top line, and that also kind of added to that. Okay, so if the all the OE share of business, if it had stayed same and the industry volume would have stayed same, definitely, like what you are saying is the sales of whatever that 4 to 6, 7%, we would have seen the top line, but unfortunately that is not as happened. So it is just more of a timing when the the sales started happening through automotive axles itself, and then the market went down, and that's why you are not seeing that change. When the normalcy is when the normalcy comes back, you are going to see that effect of bringing in the sales to the automotive axle.
So I'm still not clear. I'm sorry to repeat this, sir. You're saying industry normalcy, meaning the industry is okay. There is a problem with our products?
The industry, when you are looking at the overall M&HCV volume, but if you go out and look at the share of business for each of the OEM, it is changing. And also, like what Kishan mentioned, product mix is changing. Some, there may be more vehicles coming out of the bus where we may not be present. And then also the tipper where our we supply two axles versus the tractor we supply one axle, that is also have an impact. So this is a kind of a transition time. Everything is happening. That's why we are telling you that in next one to two quarters, this quarter and by probably definitely next quarter, this normalcy will come back, and you are going to see that additional benefit what you expected to see in the top line.
Just to kind of, sir, add further on this point. So if earlier the exports used to be never booked on our books, right? We were used to never book the revenues and exports on automotive axles books. The exports were predominantly taken care of by Merit or HVS.
That is wrong. We always manufactured. It was just like any other domestic sales. It was routed through the Meritor.
Correct.
Definitely, but we still had our share of revenue out of exports.
Okay. So basically, had this transition not happened of routing through our company, this quarter we would have reported 15% decline.
Yes.
The earlier format of automotive axles reporting, we would have probably reported 15-20% decline in sales. Is that what we should understand?
Sorry to intervene. How did you say 15% decline?
Because we reported 6% decline this quarter, and this is despite us booking the revenue. So basically the top line is higher, right? So earlier, let's say if there was 10% sitting on Merit or HVS's book,
That's what I'm telling you. You're putting so much assumption to it. The 10% that we have been explained the previous calls also. Merit HPS revenue has got their own aftermarket revenue, which is still be part of the business. So what we migrated the entire OEM, what we are selling to customers, it's migrated to automotive axle. If you grossly look at the revenue and compare it, you may see something else. Okay, so whatever we are selling, one thing I will assure you that under the new model, all the sales to the OEMs and everything it's doing directly from automotive axle. It's not routed to the MHSL. Second is about the revenue per se compared to last quarter. To the last quarter is also the same transition has happened, and compared to last year, I agree with you because last year we recorded the revenue at the transfer pricing level, and this year is full-fledged end customer revenue, gross revenue level if we compare it. Yes, it could be slightly higher than this because the base is quite different. But compared to last quarter to this quarter, it may not make a difference. In the last quarter also, you would have done it TP if you not migrate to the new model. So the percentage will quarter to quarter remain constant. Compared to last year, yes, that could be the percentage drop could be slightly higher than this, maybe another 3-4%. And that's basically because of the TP and the customer price differences. So, and again, I'm assuring you that, you know, we have just migrated to the new model. We 100% sales are happening throughout the guys.
Yeah, so, you know, because, sir, the thing is, you know, Bharat Forge has gone ahead and acquired, let's say, another axle company, right? American Axle. Now, we just kind of worry whether this transition is kind of negatively impacting automotive axle shareholders' interest or whether it is not. And because the numbers don't see kind of, you know, any increase at the top line level, which logically it should have. I mean, assuming everything ceteris paribus, 100 should have become 108 or 107 or whatever, right? But here it's actually 94, 95 instead of, you know, 107. So, and
you know,
it's just not that, clear.
American Axle is already there in the system before or after Endo acquisition by the BFL. So it's not about that because of that. You know, as governance is a fundamental element of automotive axle. We continue to maintain the governance at the very high level. And we strictly go with the governance principle, absolutely at board level, at the operating level. So that assurance definitely will give you that. Market dynamism and the share of business is basically the market driven, and definitely I don't know about the performance on the other side to comment on it. But automotive axle perspective, and we are maintaining it to whatever the share of business, what we are the products or segment, what we supply, we are absolutely on the trends of the customers. And definitely there will always be a scope for improvement. I'm not saying no. I take the spirit of what you're asking for it. But it has nothing to do with the American Axles or any other governance issue. I'm just assured that shareholders' interest of this organization is utmost concern for us. And we never do anything against shareholders' interest. And so that probably I can just give you the assurance about that. It's not about that. And outside, I don't want you to get too much concerned that if there's anything happening over and above what you see. The answer is may not be, but definitely we are on the top of the governance.
Okay. And so just one last question. I think in the...
Sorry to interrupt, Ravi. To ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from all participants, we need to...
No problem. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, kindly limit the questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a follow-up on, you know, the previous participant questions. Now, see, if you look at our conversation in Q1, what we said that we couldn't map the export billing altogether, and that should fully reflect in Q2. Now, roughly on an average, we are doing around 60 crores of quarterly exports. And then we have also sustained in Q2. So, if you look at that and then, you know, the launch and some contribution from the bus segment, one would think that the overall growth or the performance in this quarter would be materially higher. Now, I get that there's a product mix element, say with Ashok Leyland and the axle part. But even there, you know, or even if you look at the tipper sales, right, for the industry, you know, you're still talking about a mid-single digit kind of a volume performance for the tipper, you know, about 25 tons. Same for tractor trailers, be it Ashok Leyland and others. So in that perspective, you know, even if you adjust for the product mix, the performance doesn't add up, you know, in any sense. So,
Let me take that. Again, I think, first of all, I want you to assure that we have not lost any share of business with any of our current OEs. Okay, neither we have lost any export business, opportunity. So this is purely reflecting the market Okay, so it is a bit difficult to, you know, explain every aspect of it, you know. Like I said, the major contribution for it, one is, you know, some of the sales of our OEMs and some impact from the export sales and then the product mix. That doesn't mean that we have lost any share of business with our customers.
No, just sir, what I'm asking is...
No, just to add to what Nagaraj says to answer some points is about... Overall, on highway, Q1 to Q2 is slightly lower. Q2 is slightly lower than Q1. And exports, is better than the Q1. So that mix is really what it happened in the Q2.
So what is contribution of tractor tailors in our overall mix, indicatively? And second is, what is the contribution from exports now? So does it reflect the full quarter numbers of Q1 and Q2, or it still doesn't reflect the full quarterly numbers? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, you
am
are
I audible?
Audible? Yes, yes, you are audible, Viraj.
Should I repeat my question? Hello?
Hello, Kishan, will you take it?
Sure.
See, for us, you know, it's like, if I'm right, you are looking at, you know, what is the tractor trailer share of business, right? For all the customers whom we are serving this particular product, we have a 100% SOB on that. But our product is also used for not only for a tractor trailer, it is also used for a certain, 10x2 application also. Okay, so right now, while it is difficult for us to put the percentage of what exactly of the total, I would say that it is one of the major contributor, anywhere between 20% to 30% of overall sales.
So, okay, that is one. But even if you look at the export piece, right, we are doing somewhere around 60 to 70 crores of quarterly sales. And that generally we are sustaining in Q1 and Q2 both. In Q1, we didn't report that numbers, both in terms of the sales and operating expenses. That was a communication which was given to us. And we were expecting the whole Q1 numbers to reflect in Q2 and the Q2 to normalize. But, you know, we're not seeing that also. Yeah.
Again, I think we are kind of going round, like what we're telling. First of all, I want to again reassure you, we have not lost any share of business. What Ranga mentioned during the last investor call was, it is basically, it does not reflect to us, until, it will go ahead and reach the customer, then only we can realize that. But having said that, the previous quarter also, the sales were there because MHVSL did not manufacture anything. So we always sell it to MHVSL, MHVSL sell it to TEL. So that revenue recognition is always is going to be there. Only thing for the first quarter, it was different because, that change had happened. Having said that, again, it is just too many pieces have moved around, in the Q2. That's why we are seeing it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to maintain our, margins. When you look at the margins, if we are not making the right top line and the right product mix, it will be very difficult for us to achieve that. So, again, we can keep on asking the same question. Our answer is there is nothing to worry about it. All the sales are happening through the automotive axles. And, American BFL taking over American axle has no impact to us because we are two different independent companies. And we always continue. We have been acting always as an independent company. We continue to be independent. And for automotive axles, it is always focused on the investors' value creation. So we will continue to focus on how we can generate or we take care of all our investors.
Just to add to what Nagaraj said is what I mentioned, that mix is always is a kind of thing. The point is the second quarter we had better mix from exports, which is also reflected in the margin. Of course, there's a Q1 to Q2, there's a decline in the on-highway volume. So there are two
quarters. No, sir, I'm not at all looking at quarter to quarter. I'm really comparing year on year. And I understand that.
I'll add more point. Yeah. I'll add more point to it. Year on year, also the commodity, there are about around 3% roughly, I'm just telling out of the hat, how accurate I need to check. But around 3 to 4% is the commodity, also the reduction has been accommodated. So year on year comparison is one is about the transfer pricing. We are billed at around, we build the MHSL with the transfer pricing. This year we're billing with the customer price. Second is the commodity, what has been accommodated in the business, that is also brought down the sales and the value terms. And so these are the two factors we need to keep in mind. And so my memory goes well, I'm not sure, I need to check, but I don't say 3.5% impact will come in the revenue because of the commodity.
Okay. I think now we are coming to the probably end of the session. Before we close the session, I just want to, you know, share it with you. As you are aware, Uranga has decided to take an early superannuation. 21st November will be his last day. He has been with the Automotive Axle for 11 years. His contribution, you know, is incredible. He's a great leader. You know, we would like to wish on behalf of Automotive Axles management and, you know, board all the very best for, you know, Ranga for his future endeavor. Thank you.
Thank you, Nagaraj.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, kindly limit the questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co.
We'll take it as the last question, please.
Yeah, yeah. Namaskar, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Namaskar. Yeah.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, if you could just help us with the tonnage. I missed your earlier commentary, so sorry for the sake of repetition. How have the tonnage is saved, and there is a improvement in the margins that we see for this quarter. So how sustainable are those, and some color on how H2 should be shaping up in terms of, I think, so Q4 are much better than what the first half are. And then I have a bookkeeping question also.
Okay. So I'll give a little bit of perspective. You know, if you see operating margin level, we are consistently doing better, that run rate will continue, will improve. And point number two, as far as the EBITDA perspective is concerned, I already mentioned in the initial the beginning of the call, we had some one-time benefits, we had some write-off from balance liabilities is not no more required. Plus we had some FX benefit, and because the recording of last quarter to this quarter, we had some FX benefit this quarter. And also the mixed perspective, the exports are much better than the Q1. So overall basis, the one-timers has given some 0.4% benefit, and mix and FX would have given another 3.4%. If you really look at the volume is down to compared to the Q1 by 6%, and the marginal more or less remain constant in spite of the fixed cost absorption impact. So next quarter, the guidance will be to the volume. Definitely, you will, as per the Q1, are better than the Q1. The volume goes up, definitely the leverage on the fixed cost will definitely see in the EBITDA margins.
So we will see an improvement in the EBITDA margin. This is what you are alluding to.
That's what in H2, we are looking at quite positively as compared to the H1. And definitely, the EBITDA margin will improve as fixed cost leverage benefit will definitely yield into it.
Okay, sir. And then when we look at our current asset under investment, that has gone
Saket,
up significantly.
Sorry to interrupt you, Saket. Due to time constraint, we need to close this conference.
So for follow-up, sir, any medium where I can interact, Mr. Ranga or how can I get my question answered?
Otherwise, you can drop a mail, and definitely we'll answer you, sir. Surely.
Due to time constraint, this was the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to Sailesh Raja for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you all. We especially thank the Motor Axles team. So now, sir, would you like to give any comment?
No. One last thing. Oh, yeah. Probably, Ranga, you go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Just I want to give one thing to all the investor community. Then I'll Nagaraj can give a close out. See, with 11 years of existence in this organization, I'm super honored. Thank you very much. A lot of support I get from all the analysts and investors, and it's a lot of learning experience for me, enriching my how the market is looking at the performance and what type of expectations. So always that helped me to play my role better. Thank you very much, each one of you. And secondly, is about as far as the organization perspective, I just want to reassure, saying that this organization is very highly ethical and governance-oriented at all levels, right from the board to the bottom line. So everything we do, we'll keep in mind of the interest of the shareholders and interest of the investors, and we'll ensure that we bring the best governance in the organizations. And some of the questions, sometimes, you're a larger information with you when you compare the market. Probably one of the things we have today a takeaway and see that how do we need to address these questions much better in the future. We'll take it as a homework. But nevertheless, we are continuing to do our best to satisfy the customer, to make right deliveries. We are trying to fight for our share of business, and we are working with the long-term agreements with the customer to ensure that we sustain and grow in the share of business with all our customers. And as we have been last 5 years, we have been working on a lot of strategic initiatives in terms of improving the cost and improving the margins. That effort will continue under the leadership of Nagaraj and Kishan. And I'm just assured this organization will grow much higher levels in the coming quarters. Nagaraj, over to you.
Yeah, no, I think you summarized it very well. Again, to reassure, when this, lot of moving pieces, they fall into the place, you're going to see all the benefits that is coming back to you, both in terms of top line and also bottom line. Once again, thank you very much for having confidence in Automotive Axles, and we're looking forward to your continued support. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of B&K Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.